You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Here we are, again, in 2022, discussing a Green Bay Packers loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, thankfully, this one doesn't count. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's one down, two to go, 28-21 loss to San Francisco on Friday night at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. So glad they only play three of these now, aren't you? This still blows my mind. They used to play six of these freaking things. Can you believe that? Six! I think they did that till like the late 70s, right? That's insane. I remember my brother telling me that years ago, and I was like, what? I was like, you're kidding. You gotta be shitting me. No way. But it's true, they did. I don't know if everybody knows that, but they did. Oh my god, I'd go insane breaking down six of these. Oh my god. Watching six of them would be hard enough. Then having to break them down, huh? I don't know. I love the show. I love talking Packers, but with all you, but I don't know if I could break down. I don't know if I could do six preseason podcasts. That's a lot. That is a lot. I mean, I gotta be honest, even Friday night, as soon as Jordan Love was out of the game in the third quarter, I was like, you know what? I was on Twitter. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to name a random Packer and see if that keeps people interested. I'm like, let's go with Craig Lumpkin. Do you remember Craig Lumpkin? Man, he was the star. He was the superstar of training camp back in 2008. Really, really had some good showings. And then the season started and we never really heard from him again, if I remember correctly anyways. But he had that at least, right? So I mentioned it, and like right away, my Twitter feed just exploded with people just sending me names of random Packers, you know? Jeff Query, Torrance Marshall. I got a lot of Atari Bigby. A lot. I'm not really sure why. Probably because he has an all-time name, Atari Bigby, but he was definitely in there a lot. Bawa Ju. Oh my god, the names were coming fast and furious, which was a lot of fun. You know, because I don't want to say I wasn't focused. But I don't know if I was 100%. You know what I mean? It wanes a little bit. Because you know as a fan, once Love's out of the game, it's like, well, the importance of everything kind of goes down a little bit now. So I thought the Lumpkin thing would be fun. And it seemed to work. I got a lot. And then Saturday morning, someone actually sent me a photo of themselves with Craig Lumpkin that was taken, I think, during that training camp. So I was like, oh my God, there he is. There's Craig Lumpkin. Good stuff. Anywho, now that I've derailed just about 3 minutes in, I'll talk a little bit about tonight's show. Pretty simple, really. I'm going to break down the game. Okay, not the game, not the game, not the game, as Allen Iverson might say, so much. It'll be more about performances, ones I liked, ones I didn't, anything in between. Should be fun. Before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Don't you want to follow and see me talking about Craig Lumpkin on there? Doesn't that sound fun? I do want to say quick, I was tweeting throughout the game Friday night. Once the regular season starts, I'm going to really try to cut back on that. Not nearly as many in-game tweets, at least that's the plan for now. Because really, you know, it probably should have dawned on me long before now, but it just did recently, that if I'm tweeting throughout the game, you maybe have less reason to tune into the show, right? Because, I could listen to the show, but I could just go to his feed and there's everything he thought about the game. So in an effort to kind of, you know, make sure you're here, make sure you're coming here to check out the show, which is what I care about most, way more than Twitter, I'm going to tweet less during the games. That's the plan. Hope I can stick to it. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL bagofdonuts at gmail.com. Would love to hear from you guys and gals. What do you think about the show? Where are you listening to the show? Where do you live? What are your thoughts about the team this year? Anything. Send it along. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to read it, I should say. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good, too. Leave a comment. Hopefully it's positive. Hopefully you like the show. That would be best, right? You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there. And as usual, any other platforms that you may listen to the show on that I don't mention, drop me a line and let me know where you're tuning in from. I'd love to know. And just subscribe. Really, any of these platforms I mentioned, just hit this, just mash down on that subscribe button. Then it gets delivered right to your phone. We don't say anything about what's on your phone, whatever else is on your phone. Our lips are sealed. No worries. And of course, I have to give an extra special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. You heard the ad at the start of the show, and I'd like to take this opportunity to mention that you, the Lem's Talkin' Pack listener, the Packers Talk listeners, can save 10% off of Ticket King's already low prices on Packers tickets by using the code PT10 when you order at theticketking.com. Once again, the code is PT10 at theticketking.com. That's the website. But act now. The offer expires August 31st. Okay, now that we've done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers L. Meaningless L, which is, of course, the best kind of L, right? God, if only I could handle regular season and playoff losses the way I handle preseason ones. Oh, the world would be so much better, at least for me. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I'm not alone on that. Right, because they lose a preseason game, you're like, all right, whatever. On to the next one. why can't I be this way all the time? What a world it would be. Anyways, the main thing to discuss, the first thing when talking about this game, I think it's fairly obvious, is the performance of one Jordan Love. The third-year quarterback started Friday, played the first half, which, a little surprising to me. I thought he'd go at least until deep into the third, maybe even early in the fourth. But I guess Matt LaFleur saw enough in the first half. Certainly, Love got a lot of work in those two quarters, finishing 13 of 24 for 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, and 7.3 yards per attempt for an overall rating of 66. Okay. Overall, when I'm assessing Love here, I would say it was an up-and-down showing. More ups than downs. I do think it was enough for him to build off of. But there are still some aspects of his game that I was honestly expecting him to be further along in. It did leave me wanting more in certain areas. Let's start with the good stuff, right? Because if you listen to the show, you know your old pal Limps is all about keeping it positive. Okay, not really. But it's preseason, so let's start with the hope springs eternal, so let's start with the good stuff. The 33-yard touchdown pass to Romeo Doubs. It is Doubs. I thought it was Dubs. Apparently it is Doubs. To Romeo Doubs, coming on 4th and 3. That was awesome, right? 4th and 3. San Francisco blitzes. Love knows he's going to have one-on-one with San Francisco in zero coverage. Floats a beauty to Doubs behind the coverage. Doubs hauls it in. Off to the races for the score. Really, that was great work by Doubs on that play, obviously. Too, but more on him in a little bit. Really, I like that play. That was Love's best play as a Packer, preseason, regular season, whatever, up to this point. He was confident. He knew what was coming. He knew where the ball had to go. He didn't wait. He got it out on time. It was a great throw. It was everything we've been hoping to see in that one play. It was awesome. Another play I really liked. I really liked how Love moved the defense with his eyes, allowing Samore Toure to get wide open over the middle for the 23-yard pickup late in the first half. Really, that was good stuff. Haven't seen a ton of that from Love thus far, but his eyes were really what allowed Toure to get so wide open. That was great. Really nice. There was some nice zip on that ball, too. Like that. So those were a couple of moments that stood out on the positive, right? But overall, I just liked how he stayed confident. He kept slinging it despite the interceptions, which really, the first two weren't his fault. Now, the last one was. I'll get to that in a minute. But the first two weren't, you know. His skill position guys didn't always bail him out, which any quarterback needs, you know, no matter how good you are at times. But the first two picks weren't his fault. But regardless, despite the picks, he stayed confident, you know, kept slinging. And it does feel like the game is starting to slow down for him overall, which is a good thing. Really good to see. Now, as I take a drink of water for dramatic effect, the not so good. The accuracy as a whole, it's still not great, I don't think. You know, in the first quarter alone, he overshot Josiah DeGuara on a third down, overshot Dobbs deep. You know, he had a stinker of a first down pass to running back Tyler Goodson. Again, that was just in the first quarter of those three plays. Now, the pick that is on Love, third and eight, Love throws a terrible pass intended for Amari Rodgers on a crosser. Didn't get it nearly far enough in front of him. His pick. It was a nice play by the DB, too, but just, you know, I didn't like the read. I didn't like the decision where to go with the ball. And I really, of course, didn't like the accuracy of the pass. Again, that had to be way further out in front for Amari to have a shot at it. So, yeah, really, it was everything about Jordan Love that still makes me nervous on display in one moment. You know, you could say, well, he did these good things. Right, but that one moment, it was like, that's everything that I'm like, ugh, still gives me concern. Still concerns me. Even his last touchdown pass to Danny Davis, you know, that was kind of all on Davis. You know, that was kind of all him there. He made a really nice move to adjust on the back shoulder pass and haul it in. Didn't think it was a great pass, to be honest. The footwork is still choppy at times, and I'm still not seeing enough zip on the ball consistently. For whatever reason, his cannon of a right arm that we saw at Utah State still just hasn't translated enough for me to the pros. Still not seeing that as much as I'd like. I was hoping for more of that Friday, you know? So yeah, again, up and down. More good than bad. Enough to build off of, but maybe not to the degree I was hoping for. Especially when you think of all the glowing camp reports we've gotten regarding Love this year from both media, you know, blogosphere people, and Packers coaches and players. You know, everybody's been raving about him. I was like, all right, we're going to really see it. And saw some of it, but didn't see as much as I was hoping for, you know? That's just me. Now, because it's fun to me, albeit a tad cliched, I'm going to move on from Love and do the thing where I say something is good or bad. The performance of either a player or a group of players. But I'm not just going to go good, bad. No, no, no. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to keep you guessing as to what's coming next. You don't know. I might go good, bad. You know, who knows? Got to keep you on your toes here on Limps Talk and Pack. Okay, so let's start with the good. These young Packers wideouts really liked what I saw from that group overall Friday. All made plays, right? Danny Davis, two catches, mentioned him. Two catches, 45 yards and a touchdown. Dobbs, mentioned him. Three catches, 45 yards and a touchdown. Toure, mentioned him. Three grabs, 42 yards. Amari Rodgers, one catch for 22 yards. That was a touchdown. So really liked what I saw from those. Really liked what I saw from that group. What is going on here? Here we go. Now, with Dobbs, because obviously he's been the main story, I think, in camp so far. There was good, but now there was some bad, too, right? He had the drop on the Love rollout in the first quarter. Really bad drop there. He's got to catch that. And then he had the ball ripped away from him on the pick that Love threw. I believe was that Love's second pick of the game. He's got to hang on to that. Has to have stronger hands there. Now, I was a little critical of Dobbs on Twitter, and people were like, oh, I felt like people were kind of like, wow, I thought I was being too harsh. But really, I felt like it was more me being critical of the media and the Packers blogosphere people kind of breathlessly praising him, you know? And some of these takes I've seen regarding Dobbs so far have just been ridiculous. Not all of them, but some was like, oh my God, get a grip, you guys, you know? He's a rookie. And Friday was a reminder for everybody to pump the brakes a little bit. As I said on the show last time, he's a rookie. He's going to have rookie moments. The touchdown was great. He made a nice catch in traffic. Those were great. But again, he had the aforementioned moments that were not so great. He's a rookie. You know, it's not like he's going to be Devontae or Jordy right away. And I swear to God, it feels like some of these people think he's going to be. With Amari Rodgers, they talked about it during the broadcast. He's lost weight. You can really tell he looks a lot quicker. You saw that on his awesome punt return that he had in the first quarter that took Green Bay all the way into San Francisco territory. That on that the punt return and the touchdown, you could tell he's a lot quicker and shiftier this year. Looks a lot more like the guy we saw at Clemson, the guy we thought the Packers were going to get last year. I think they're going to get closer to that guy this year, which is great. I think he was simply too heavy last year, you know? I think he kind of tried to bulk up for the pounding you take in the NFL, and it really cost him that quickness and shiftiness, which is really his strength. That's his calling card. So really excited about what we're seeing from him. I think that's good stuff. Mentioned Toure did a nice job getting open on the catch. Danny Davis, the really nice job adjusting on the back shoulder catch. So yeah, good stuff from those guys, you know? And the thing is, this offense is really going to help these guys, I think, hit the ground running. I talked last time about how I wasn't worried so much about the receivers because Rodgers is so good and so stubborn. Of course, he'll make it work. But really, you've got to credit Matt LaFleur as well, because I think this offense is really, he's really good at scheming guys open. He's going to put these guys in positions to get, in advantageous positions to get open. You know what I mean? So that'll really help these guys, I think, become impact players sooner rather than later. So, yeah, definitely wanted to mention that. And Christian Watson, hey, he got activated to practice Sunday, coming off the knee surgery. So hopefully we get to see him soon. Get him in that mix. Good stuff. I really like where this group is, you know. I still think they're going to be leaning early on Cobb and Lazard and probably Watkins. But I think as we go along, I think it's there for these young guys, one or two of these young guys, to really, you know, see some playing time and become players in on this team, in this offense, which is exciting. More good, the battle for the number three running back spot. Goodson, talked about him a little bit. Thought he really ran well. I thought he ran hard. I liked him at Iowa. Didn't like him when he was killing my Gophers. But, you know, he had 12 carries for 37 yards, but some tough yards. Because I didn't think the offensive line was really doing well in run blocking. More on that in a bit. But he also had two catches for 24 yards, including a 23-yarder. And he just, to me, looks like an NFL runner. You know what I mean? Like, watching him, I just go, he looks like he belongs. But not just Goodson, you know. B.J. Baylor had the 68-yard reception. Really nice job getting open on the wheel route, catching the pass from Danny Etling in stride. Good stuff from him. Notice some things from Baylor watching Family Night that I was kind of impressed by, too. So, I think he might be in that mix. Dexter Williams, who they brought back last week. If you listened to the show when he was on the team, you know, I was always saying I felt like he had a chance watching him at Notre Dame. I felt like he was an NFL runner. So he's back now. I still haven't sold all my Dexter Williams stock, even as low as it got. I kept a couple shares. Maybe that'll pay off. Thought he did some nice things Friday night. Still not giving up on him. Some bad now. The non-Robert Tonyan tight ends. Tyler Davis, everybody's been raving about this offseason, had the drop. That led to the pick. DeGuara looked like the player I think he is, which is frankly not a true tight end. Think he's more of a move piece. Think he's more of a fullback, kind of a tight end, kind of a Kyle Juszczyk type guy. Don't think he's a true tight end. You saw kind of why I think that on Friday night. You know, again, they better hope Tonyan, who made his return to practice Sunday, like Watson, you hope he can hit the ground running when he comes back, because otherwise I don't know if this team has much of a difference maker at the position. You know, we all love Big Dog, but he's 77 years old, so you know what he is. You know what he is at this point. So, yeah, don't know if I feel great about that group behind Tonyan, for sure. Not good or bad, but more freaking hilarious. The first play of the game being a special teams penalty on Green Bay, a holding call. So on brand, right? Just so on brand for the Packers. I guess the Rich Bisaccia era can only go up from there. I was like, you gotta be shitting me, man. Come on. That was hilarious. Good and bad, the offensive line. I thought the pass protection, especially when Love was in the game, really the whole evening, but especially when Love was in the game, was sterling. Really, really good, outstanding pass protection. Pass pro. You gotta say pass pro so people think you know what you're talking about. So you sound smarter than you are. That was great stuff. Didn't feel as great about the run blocking. Talked about that a minute ago with Goodson. Felt like he had to earn a lot of his yards. Just didn't think they got a whole lot of push. Didn't feel like they created a whole lot of, create many holes throughout the night. So that's, I think, something that's got to be improved. Shockingly, off topic a little bit, Elgton Jenkins was back on the practice field Sunday. Is anybody else just blown away by this? He blew his knee out against Minnesota, I think it was November 21st? November 20th, 21st, somewhere in there? Are we even at 9 months? No, we're not even at 9 months. And he's already back on the practice field? That's insane. What a stud. I'm so glad he's back. Now, I don't know if we'll see him for week one. I still think it may be kind of a slow ramp up. But I never thought he'd be back until Halloween. I thought for sure he'd be a pup guy, be out the first 6 weeks, and sometime around Halloween, early November is when we'd see him. He might be back by maybe week one, but certainly you'd think by week two or week three, he could be back on the field. For a guy that I've called on the show multiple times, the most valuable offensive lineman in football in terms of his ability to dominate, not just play, but dominate in all five positions. To get a guy like that is great, especially because we don't know what's going on with Bakhtiari. Who knows when he'll be back? You know, I have no idea if or even when he'll be back. Or when or even if he'll be back. So who knows? But that's just, shout out to Elgton Jenkins for being just a stud and being like almost ready to go. That's awesome. Bad. The depth of the secondary, particularly the corners. Giving up two long touchdown passes in the first half. Not good at all. Especially when you consider how wide freaking open the wide receivers were. Holy shit. Rico Gafford on the 39-yarder to McLeod. He got scorched so bad on the double move, he like fell down. Looked like he rolled over. Woof. Kind of a rough night for him, for sure. Other than Shamar Jean Charles, the depth after the big three, you know, it's not awesome. Maybe Kavion Ento, he had the one nice pass breakup in the fourth quarter. Maybe he's the fifth guy, but you need as much depth there as possible, right? I mean, look at Baltimore last year. They got ravaged at cornerback due to injuries, and that kind of killed their season for all intents and purposes. So hopefully they can find that fifth guy. That would be good. Surprisingly good for some, but not a surprise to me, the depth at outside linebacker. Tipa Naliai, Kobe Jones, and Kingsley Enagbare all recorded sacks. Enagbare showing some good work setting the edge in the run game as well. Friday night. As I said in the last episode, I thought people were worrying too much about the depth there. Thought they had enough talented players in that group to find a couple of competent backups. So far, that looks to be the case, especially when he tossed Jonathan Garvin into that mix. Now, Tipa did have the shoulder injury that knocked him out of the game, so hopefully he's not out too long with that. But again, I like this group. I think they'll find two guys, maybe even three guys, to go behind Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. I think they'll be more than okay there. Not worried. Also, shout out to some of the depth guys on the front seven, particularly TJ Slayton and Jack Heflin. Heflin, as you may remember, was one of the stars of training camp last summer. Thought both guys really flashed Friday. I'm telling you, I don't think most people fully get how good this defensive line is going to be. I don't think so. You know, Kenny, Jerron Reed, that was a great signing. I think Jerron Reed, I'll say it on the show, I think he has a chance to be, okay, I don't want to say, I don't think he's got a, I don't think he'll make quite the impact that Devondre Campbell, my guy, Sky Umah, University of Minnesota, made last season, but I think he's got a chance to be that, to be somewhere near that, as far as like, guy they scooped up off the street for not much money, and he comes in, and wow, what an impact. Again, not saying he's going to be what Campbell was last year, but I think he could be, you know, somewhere kind of near there. Yeah. So let's talk about the non-Kenny guys. Jerron Reed, right? Dean Lowry, I think, is a solid player. I think people were maybe expecting more from him with the contract. I think he is overpaid, but I don't think he's terrible. I think he's a solid football player. So Reed, Lowry, Wyatt, the first-round pick from Georgia, I think is going to really hit the ground running and be very, very good right away, particularly on third downs. Those three, I think Slayton is going to be a guy who could make a nice second-year jump. Heflin's going to be in that mix for depth. Maybe Ford, the seventh round pick for Miami, will be in that mix too. But those guys, it's no longer Kenny and the Clarkettes, which if you've been listening to the show, you know for years that's what I've been calling the Packers defensive line, is Kenny and the Clarkettes. Because it's just Kenny, they just asked him to do it all by himself, basically. Other than, you know, maybe Lowry. That's not the case this year. He's got some real proper villains to play alongside him on the D-line, and it's very, very exciting for people who like, you know, play in the trenches like I do, but just, you know, people who want to see this defense be good, be great. It's really, they've got the defensive line to do that. It's going to be really exciting. I think, let me say this quick about this group. It's going to make Kenny even better, and I think Kenny is really in the prime of his career right now. Maybe last year, this year, maybe the next couple years. This is the prime for Kenny Clark. And I really think with this group around him, this could be the Kenny Clark year. You know what I mean? Where he has something like 7 or 8 sacks, 9 sacks, and it's just a force against the run and the pass, which he is anyways. But I think with this group, he'll be able to level up. You know what I'm saying? This could be the Kenny Clark year, the one that we talk about like 10 years from now. And we're talking about this team. Oh, man, remember how good Kenny Clark was that year? This could be that year now that he's got this group around him. Very excited about that, if you can't tell. And lastly, I don't want to knock him too much because we learned Sunday that he was playing with an injured hamstring and he's now been released. But that Gabe Burkick missed field goal in the third quarter. Woof! That wasn't just wide left. That was, oh my God, that's wide left. He looked like he was aiming for the freaking ocean. That was a kick. That kick was so bad. I feel like we'll remember it even years from now. Like, I feel like 5 years from now, I'll be able to be like, if I said the name Gabe Burkick, there'll be at least a somewhat sizable group of people. Will be like, remember when he shanked that kick in that preseason game? It was bad, 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 bad. Again, he's been released now, so I don't want to knock him too much. The Packers signing Ramiz Ahmed, I hope I'm saying that name right, on Sunday to handle the kicking duties until Mason Crosby returns from his knee injury. But whew. I'll say this much. We'll remember the name Gabe Burkick now after that. We may not have before. We will now. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Feel like that was definitely a thorough breakdown of preseason game one. Like I said on Twitter Friday after the game, it's so nice to be discussing actual Packers on-field action. Game action, you know? I may have gone a touch overboard here tonight, but whatever, man. I'm excited. Let me have this. We haven't had football. We haven't had a Packers game to talk about in, what, 7 months? Lay off me! The Packers will be back in action Friday night, this time at Lambeau Field for a contest with the New Orleans Saints. That one is set for a 7 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff. The only home game of the preseason for Green Bay, too. As for when you'll hear from me next, I'd imagine it will be, well, exactly in a week from now. Next Monday morning, the 22nd, I'll be back to break that one down. I already can't wait. It's football season, man. It's football season is back. We made it, everybody. We're all here. Football time. Love it. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.